Sorry, Om Shanti. Good morning, everyone. Welcome, Mirabin. We, it's a young adults as well as the 13 to 15 age group over here. So it's combined session today. Sorry, those who are 13 to 15, raise your hands. Again, who's meeting Mirabin for the first time? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So Mirabin's actually the main instrument behind the whole IYF. Sorry, what, 24 years? And she's Baba's main instrument behind this whole service field, right? And from the time that I know Mirabin, she's very practical. She's got very practical tips, and she's known for her zeal and enthusiasm. There's one particular point that I really remember when she came to Perth was that you need to have self-generated enthusiasm. So not depending on anyone's praise, not waiting for anyone's praise, but you just have to have your own self-generated enthusiasm. And she is an example of that. She's in Gyan for so long, but she's always had that enthusiasm, right? And she's very creative, very extremely creative in Brahmin, in her Brahmin life. So Mirabin, today's topic is the gift of the divine eye. Okay. So we're going to have a little input from Mirabin and then a commentary, and we'll get some toli as well from her. Okay.
Om Shanti. Om Shanti. I didn't hear from everyone. Om Shanti. Better. Good morning. You know, one of the quests amongst human beings for a long time is to perceive reality, to know the truth, because it is believed that by knowing the truth, we can lead a life of wisdom. And so rishis and munis in those days, they meditated in the caves for many, many years with this aim of exploring reality, knowing the truth. In other words, you know, to seek for the third eye. Sometimes I wonder, even though they were so good in scriptures and everything, why they wanted to have this gift of third eye. So there are three reasons why someone would like to have this eye of understanding, eye of wisdom, whatever you want to call it. Because these physical eyes have limited vision. It can only see things to a limited distance. So one of the reasons people want to explore this third eye is to see the unseen, to know the unknown, and to be able to you know, to travel beyond limitations. Like in Murli's, Baba says, scientists can only go up to the moon. They cannot go beyond moon. But for us, Baba says, you can go even beyond moon, beyond sun, into that region where scientists cannot go. The soul world, subtle region. So one of the reasons to have this third eye is to explore those regions which is not accessible to even the physical scientists. But those rishis and munis could not, you know, have that kind of gift. But we, Baba's children, you know, since we have become Brahmins, we are so fortunate that God has given us two gifts on our Brahmin birthday. Usually when a birthday happens, other people give gift. The one who give birth don't give gift. But here God gave us the divine birth and also the gift of divine intellect and divine eye. So have you all received the two gifts? Those who really feel from the heart, raise your hands. I have received. And don't look at others. You raise the hand with your really faith. I have got these two gifts. Raise fully. Okay. So first, let us look at how our ordinary intellect became divine intellect. We all had intellect in the soul, right? It's not that Baba put any intellect. It was there before also. But how he made the intellect divine? Why he says that he has given you the gift of divine intellect? Can anyone explain? How did you receive this gift? How your intellect became divine? How? Yes? No, just I want to know, how did you get it on the first day? No, some of you are in knowledge for 8 years, 9 years, whatever. The first day you came, you got that gift. How? No, let him say first. Yeah. First day you did not given that knowledge. Yeah. So how your intellect became divine then? So actually, you know, when we came to Baba on the first day, we were told, you are a soul. We did not just hear the word, I am a soul, but we also perceived, you know, the intellect absorbed the awareness, I am a soul. That means my intellect got divinized, spiritualized. So from that day onwards, our vision, the awareness, attitude, vision towards us and towards others changed. Is that right? So I begin to see myself in a different way, beyond the body. And then when I look at others, I was able to know they are also so like me. So that is why even in bhakti, in ignorance, they show the third eye as somewhere here. They call it eye of Shiva, eye of wisdom, eye of knowledge, eye of understanding. So that is how our third eye open. Awareness. You know, just like they say God comes and awakens the dead from the grave. So that means before I was living, the soul was there, but it was like dead. So God came and put that awareness, so I was awakened. Right? So that means my third eye opens. Now I have to use that eye so that I am able to explore many things in this world, including myself. Say now, for example, if someone asks you, you know you are a soul, right? Have you seen the soul? What would you say? How many of you have seen the soul? Because without seeing, how you believed? Seeing is believing. So, how many of you have seen the soul? Now, people will ask you, how do you see the soul? Because soul is metaphysical. Soul is invisible. So, how you have seen? Imagination. No, it's real. Imagination doesn't exist. Visualize. But they are asking you, have you seen? What would you say? Yes or no? Yes. Because seeing is not, you know, like a point of light you see. Feeling is seeing. feeling the presence of that energy in my body is called seeing. So I 100% guarantee that I am a soul, because the one who see, the one who talk, one who listen, is I the soul. Even if somebody tells you no, but I can prove, right? So seeing is not physical. Seeing is through feeling. Seeing is through being. So some of you say you don't see the soul is because you are not being. You know, there are three stages. One is to know you are a soul. That is from the intellect, ordinary intellect, information. Second thing is to accept you are a soul. Acceptance is always from the heart. Right? And really the third step is very important. Being. Suppose if I am born in a royal family, I am a prince. I am. I don't need to practice I am a prince. Have you seen anybody doing that? I am born in a royal family. I am a prince. I am. So when I accept I am a soul, that is called, you know, living in that consciousness. Just like today, we have the consciousness of the body so strong. Even if I don't want to remember, I remember. Because it has gone so deep for 2500 years. So now, actually, seeing is being. So now you have to be more of being soul than thinking soul. You understand? Because even in meditation, what most of us do, most of the time, we are thinking, I am a soul, I am a point of light. So we don't have any experience. I am only thinking. You know, like for example, when you touch the iron, when it is hot without knowing, you get a shock. So you know, heat is shock. You have experienced the heat, right? So when I have experienced I am a soul, that is it. That is enlightenment. You know? So actually to have the divine eye is to bring enlightenment into myself. That means a blind person seeing himself in the mirror for the first time. How you will feel? A blind person, he got his eye open so he can see himself in the mirror for the first time. So that should be your feeling. Who? I have been living, thinking I am this skin for so long, I am the car. No, this is my car. You know, so this is called eye of experience. So your third eye has opened. So you have changed from thinking into being. So that should be your aim. Being, I am. You don't have to repeat. Like you don't think I am a body, you know. You are automatically. Because we have embodied that consciousness. Now we have to change into I am a soul. So don't be thinking. Allow it to become a being. I am. I am. These two words are very powerful. You know, it has so much of positive energy. I am a being, a living energy. So why we call soul living energy? What you have seen in the soul that makes it living. We have thinking, we have judgment, we have memories, we have feelings, emotions, memories. All these aspects of the soul actually makes it living. You can feel it? Why I say I am a living being? I think, I feel, I judge, I have memories. So it is really amazing to feel this, you know. That is called opening of the third eye. Feeling is experience. Thinking is not experience. So when you sit in meditation, you have to check and see for how long I was feeling I am a soul. So when you are feeling I am in the being stage, it will be followed by the experience of peace and love and power, natural. Because I am peace, I am love. So when we talk about the eye of experience, it is eye of feelings, emotions, vibrations. Now for example, when you sit in yoga, you connect with Baba. Can you see Baba? When you talk about God to other people, they say, have you seen God? What would you say? You have? How you have seen God? Through Dadi Gulzar? Feelings and emotions. So it's the eye of experience through feelings and emotions. So what kind of feelings you get, what kind of vibrations you get, that will confirm that you are in connection with the Supreme Soul. You know, we also connect soul to soul. Now I am communicating with you. I am connecting with you as a soul. So I get positive energy. You know, positive energy, positive feelings. But when I connect with Baba, because he's the source of all energies, it is like connecting with the powerhouse, generator. Intensity of that light, intensity of that love, intensity of that power is much more than just connecting soul to soul. Right? So how long can you remain connected? It depends on how long you can connect with yourself. That means the more soul conscious you are in that experience I am, that long you can connect. And then how do you know that today my meditation was good? Or very good, best. So whatever feelings and vibrations you took from Baba, yeah, how long you can maintain that feelings during your action. So that shows your depth of experience. Not that only what I felt at that time, that is not enough. But if I have really connected and, you know, my battery was charged, it will manifest in different ways in my action. Like, for example, it can manifest in the form of power of cooperation. It can manifest in the form of power of tolerance. So the depth will be a longer time. So this is why, you know, we have to make sure that we are in the being consciousness about ourselves. So that will give me access, you know, like to know the unknown. Now, one is see the unseen. That means what you cannot see with these eyes, you can see with the third eye. Now I am seeing the body of you, but I see the soul because my third eye is open. So what it means to know the unknown? Now we are living in the present. We don't know about the past. We don't know about the future. So when I am in the being stage, you know, in that total soul consciousness, not thinking, but being in soul consciousness, my vision towards myself become microscopic. My vision towards myself becomes microscopic, which means I am able to see the past, the future, as well as the present. You understand? You are able to see. See means? With the third eye, you are able to know. Just like television, you know, you can see the distant scenes very close. So something that has happened 5,000 years ago, you feel like it happened yesterday. So that is a sign of an enlightened intellect. Intellect that is enlightened, opened. So that intellect is able to perceive the past of the soul in such a way as if it happened one moment ago. So there is no doubt, I was. You know, when Baba says in the Murli, you were a deity, you were a warrior, you were a merchant, you were Shudra, and now Brahmin, you become deity again. So that words of Baba penetrates the soul, and reality, I see myself through the enlightened intellect so clearly, as if yesterday I was a deity. I am, I was, and I will be. Not that we are going to dig out, you know, what was my past, where I was born, the recent past, like the fortune tellers, you know, some people, they will tell you what you will become in the future, what you were in the past, you know. Where you were born, who were your parents and things. We are not going to trace those things. The third eye is not for that. The divine eye is to help us to have a far-sightedness. The experience of the divine eye means to have a far-sighted vision. So that means I am able to see 5,000 years ago as if it happened yesterday. And then I have this 100% guarantee what I will be. You know, it's not necessary for you to go into trance. Of course, Brahma Baba had the gift of trance. You know, in the vision, he saw himself being Vishnu, Narayan, but not necessary. Third eye, opening of the third eye, eye of experience, does not mean you have to go in trance and then see. So sometimes, you know, in the yajna, those brothers and sisters who used to go in transvision and see something they couldn't understand. I remember one experience, Dadi Gulzar, when she came to Baba, she was only 8 years old. And she was sitting in the satsang, and then they were chanting Om, and Dadi went into trance. She did not even know that was trance. And then she saw Sri Krishna in the trance, and then she was lost in that experience. Everyone went off from the satsang, she was sitting alone, eyes closed. She was still in the trance experience. When she came down, then the sisters nearby her asked, "Where did you go? What did you see?" She couldn't even explain because she did not know where she went, what she saw, because she has never seen that kind of scene in her life. She was only 8 years old. You know, then what they did was they brought all the photos of the deities. They were asking her, "Did you see this? Did you see this?" Finally, when they showed the picture of Krishna, she said yes. You know, and she could not express much. She started tears in her eyes, that's all. So it does not mean that if you saw something in the vision, so that means you are a pure soul, that is why you got that vision. Some people think like that. Not necessary. So when we talk about eye of experience, it is not like you have to go in trance. It means to have the understanding through your divine intellect. So divine intellect and divine eye have to operate simultaneously. It cannot be separated. Purified mind and enlightened intellect has to go together. You know, nowadays, like when they offer bhog to Baba, some trance messengers go in trance. And of course, they bring back the message, but their mind is not pure completely, so they cannot catch the signals. When they come and relate experience, it's not very clear for us also. But like, for example, some messengers like Dadi Gulzar, she would come and narrate the experience of her trance so clearly. Listening to her, you feel that you are undergoing that experience. So that is a separate experience. You don't need to mix the experience of the I, divine I, with the trance experience. Here you have to use your mind and intellect in order to have an experience of the third eye. That means mind is the faculty to create image. You know, mind is a screen, so you create image according to what you think. So, intellect understands the image that is created. So, feelings plus understanding creates an experience. If you are only emotional, you have only bhavana, and on the basis of that you do, your experience will not be deep, very shallow. And if you are only intellectual, it's no divinity in your intellect, then you cannot create an experience without bhavna. So that's why we in Hindi we say bhavna plus vivek. That means bhavna means some kind of devotional feelings I have plus understanding is equal to experience. So experience, again I say, it is feelings and emotions. See, for example, one more example I would like to share. You know, one of the dadis from whom I took knowledge, when she came to knowledge, her husband had died. The whole family was in great sorrow. So they brought her to Baba because they had heard anybody comes to Om Mandali, they will get peace of mind. She did not know anything about soul or anything. So Brahma Baba himself, she sat in front of Brahma Baba and Brahma Baba asked her, "Who are you?" She said, "I am a peaceless soul." "What is the world like?" He said, "Full of peacelessness." So then Baba said, "Okay, you sit down here." And Baba took a piece of paper and he drew the body like a little face and like, you know, just like this. And he said, "Look, you are here." He said, "Here, put the dot, and you are a soul. That's all." Then Baba said, "Okay, now sit down." And Baba gave drishti. And she went into the experience of soul. For a long time, totally lost. And after that, when she came back, Baba asked her, "Who are you?" "I am a peaceful soul." She felt, what is the world like? Full of peace. See, as is your perception, so will be your experience. So it is not blindly believing. You understand? Those who are 13, 15 years old, understanding? You don't believe because you are told you are a soul. Must feel. And once you have felt it, that's it. It cannot go out of your life, you know. You feel. Same thing, you know, when I begin to know the unknown, which means I begin to believe that I, the soul, I have taken many births in the cycle. This is one of the many bodies I am in. So when Baba says your aim is to become Lakshmi Narayan, so which means deity, you know, through my eye of experience, I can feel it. I was that, but I have lost it because I had forgotten myself. So I can connect, relate to that point from the Murli. And the third reason why we want to have the third eye is to travel to the soul world. So how many of you travel to the soul world when you sit in meditation? Raise your hand. Go up. How much you go up to soul world or subtle region? Huh? Have you seen the soul world? Experience it? What it is like? So actually, this is only possible through the eye of experience, through the third eye, divine eye. So I visualize myself, you know, this is the divine eye. Through that eye, just like binoculars, like television, microscope, you see some things, right? Far things becomes near. So in 1 second, I say, I am in the soul world. It doesn't take much time. I think and I am there. I don't need to even say, oh, I'm going beyond the sky, beyond the sun, beyond the clouds. You know, it's just, I am. I, the soul, I now, I see myself in my home, the element of golden red light, and I'm sparkling in my home, experiencing peace. It's just a matter of pressing the button of the consciousness. And through the divine eye, I see myself in front of Baba. Baba in the soul world. Have you experienced being there? Baba also point of light. I am also point of light. So through my thought, I touch the light. What happens? When you touch a physical light current, it will throw you out. And here what happens? It draws you in. Like a magnet. You know how it draws the iron? Have you felt that? Yeah? Because like attracts like. In science, opposite pole attract. This is silence. So I am in soul consciousness. So Baba also soul, supreme. So we are like attract like. So it's like I am connected. And the feeling is a flood of energy from Baba pouring into myself. So that also I experience through my feelings. I'm not seeing anything. I am feeling the love of the mother. I am feeling the love of father. I feel the light. I feel the might. You understand? So the longer I stay, I am able to use those powers in different ways. So it is the eye of experience makes you authority of knowledge. You know, the moment you have that experience, experience is the greatest authority. You know, even rishis and munis, they have said, I don't know what is God. They did not, were not connecting. So we are here, simple people, we can connect. And then the proof of that is transformation in my life. Without even knowing, I have changed. My anger has changed into peace, my attachment into love, my ego into humility. I did not know. I have become more tolerant person. I have more patience now. But I don't know that I have changed. But that energy has transformed my inner self. Right? So that is what makes me authority of experience. So I need to go for it. You know? But then of course you cannot get into that stage suddenly. So what I need to do is experiment. When you keep on experimenting, practicing, you go into the experience. So that is why Baba says, practice soul consciousness in action. When you are talking, walking, eating, practice soul consciousness. So, you know, you become more in tune with those spiritual thoughts. So you are like, your intellect is already warmed up. So to get connected, it becomes easier. So this is why we should really feel so fortunate that Baba has given such gift for us. Which gift? Divine intellect. You know now how your intellect became divine? When you have accepted the awareness of yourself as a soul, ordinary intellect became divine. And then my intellect, practicing that, my eye, that is my conscience within the intellect, was awakened. You know, for Gautama Buddha, they say his name was Siddhartha, right? He was not Gautama to begin with. How he became Gautama Buddha? How he got the title Buddha? Because he sat under the Bodhi tree and he meditated. So, with meditation, his intellect got enlightened. So, the name Buddha can be given to anybody. You can also be called Buddha, the one who has enlightened intellect. Yeah, you don't need to go and sit and meditate under Bodhi tree. But you are also Buddhas. We are all Buddhas. Buddhi, enlightened Buddhi. Enlightened intellect. Enlightened intellect means an intellect that can perceive the unknown, see the unseen, and to be able to have access to move towards the region which is not accessible through the five elements of matter. You understand? So you have an enlightened intellect now? Huh? But to increase your experience, you also have to work on your mind. You know, to make a purified mind. The mind has to be pure, intellect become divine, brings experience. So, purity of mind means no waste thoughts, no impure thoughts, no negative thoughts, no ordinary thoughts, only positive, good, auspicious thought about yourself and of others. So you have to accumulate that power of positivity over a period of time to make a purified mind. And divine intellect means, divinized intellect means an intellect which has no duality. You know, duality means a conflict. Have you experienced in your life like that? Sometimes the intellect got conflict. When you want to decide something, you are panicking. Is this right or not? Can I do this or not do it? Should I go there? Because my feeling says go. My intellect says don't go. It's a conflict. The reason for having conflict in our intellect is because our conscience is sleeping. You know? Conscience is called the heart of the soul. Where is the conscience? Where is the heart in the soul? Where is the heart in the soul? We know mind, intellect, sanskaras. The heart of the soul is the conscience. And it is submerged in the intellect itself. See, that is why sometimes we find there is a whisper coming from inside. When you want to do something, do it. But we don't listen to that whisper. We ignore it. And then after we do an action, repentance comes. So when you have repentance guilty after doing something, that means you were sleeping in the sleep of ignorance. You have suppressed your conscience. It gave you signal, but you did not listen. Why I could not listen? Because I was body conscious. I was thinking, I am sister so-and-so. I am thinking, I am brother so-and-so. And so I could not listen to that inner voice. So if you really want to awaken, you know, awakening of your consciousness is like opening of your third eye. So you can listen to that inner voice only when you are soul conscious. And after that, there is no repentance, regret. So enlightened intellect can also be defined as intellect dictated by my conscience, guided by my conscience. That is called divine intellect, enlightened intellect, wisdom. So then I am able to, my action, my words, everything changes. So it is connected with, you know, the feeling and being. Again, coming back to that. So what I would like to encourage all of you to experiment in the next 1 or 2 days is how much time you are in the being stage. Not thinking, but being. Like suppose, say another example, gross example. I say, I am hungry now. Okay? So now, if I just keep repeating, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, hunger don't go. What I have to do? I have to eat. So if I'm just thinking, I am a soul, I am a soul, I am a soul, I don't become. I just feel the presence of that energy. How it becomes so lively. Without the energy, the body is like a corpse. Right? No feeling. So you can get that experience, the comparison. You know, this is another method of creating feelings, experience, is comparison and separation. Comparison and separation. So that gives you the feeling. And you have to accumulate the experience in the form of feelings and vibrations. And no matter, others will tell you, who told you you are a soul? You just believe somebody told you. No, I say, I have experience. Yeah? You can share, you know. So then it becomes more real. Yeah? So I think the time is up already. So we can spend a few minutes questioning. Any question you want to clarify from what you have heard so far before we go further into experience? Yes. Yeah. No, like for example, I was told I am a soul, I am light. Right? So in my mind, which is like a screen, I see me as a point of light, living light, with mind, intellect and sanskara, feeling, judging and you know. So then the intellect understands, the mind creates the image, it becomes an experience. It goes into feeling. No, like now, for example, before you travel to the soul world, you were shown through the picture, right? 3 worlds, we know. We were given clear description. Even like, for example, when we were in the school, they used to tell us, London is in this place. But then we cannot understand where is London. But they will show the world map. Oh, this is the world map, here is London. So then, wherever I can sit, I can visualize myself being in London. On the basis of the image that was given. So through the image, we were told that, you know, this is the corporeal world, this is the subtle region, it's like this, this is incorporeal world. So I already have that image in my mind. So my intellect goes wherever the image. And then, as long as I am in soul consciousness, I can hold on. I can put the handbrake. I can stay there. The moment I become body conscious, I drop. So that is how I create an experience. Mind, intellect, together. So then thoughts, that feeling then becomes attitude. So attitude creates vibration, and vibration makes the atmosphere. See, that's why when you go some places, you feel the atmosphere very nice, you feel very powerful, spiritual atmosphere. In some place you go, there is a kind of insecurity in the atmosphere, where you go sometimes very heavy, lethargic atmosphere, because it is created by people who are there on the basis of their thoughts and feelings. You understand? Yeah. Any other question, brothers? Yeah? Is it something good to know all this, or you say it's not necessary? Do you feel you got something new today? You explored something different about yourself? Or is the same thing? Huh? So what would you do from today? To create an experience. You know, feel more than thinking. Think less. Feel more. That's why we have to have some silence. You know, to feel more and think less, you have to have interest to be in silence. You know, silence means mind calm like a lake without any ripples. Then you can start creating an experience. So, last chance, question, any question? Brother is using the computer here. What you are doing with the computer? Are you checking your email? Huh? What you were doing, honestly? Oh, this is not the time for that, no, brother. That's why we always ask people to turn off their mobiles when they come to the classroom. Yeah, when you finish the class, you can communicate. Otherwise, your body is here, your intellect not here, right? You were hearing but not listening. It happens many times, right? People can sleep with eyes open also. Yeah, we have seen. People can be sitting hearing but they are not listening. People can be seeing but they are not looking. Yeah? They were looking at you all the time afterwards. If you ask them, did you see me? No. It is like a bit of absent mind. Huh? We should not be absent mind. We have to have presence of the mind. I mean, in the now, presence. Then only you can absorb. Huh? Otherwise we have 2 years, one entry, one exit. Yeah? We don't have the responsibility to tell each and everyone. You know, even though I know that that is not the right thing they are doing, I don't have the right to go and correct anybody and everybody. Only if I am responsible for that person. Suppose if I am a father and my son is doing something wrong and I know it's my responsibility to help him, so I can tell him. Or if I am a teacher in the classroom, I see some students not doing the right thing, it is my duty to tell them. But I cannot go and tell each and everybody, you are doing wrong. So that shows my ego.
I'm talking about like the really close.
No, but even then also you have to see whether it is your responsibility. You know, if it is not your responsibility, then the next step is, I have good wishes in my mind, hope they can do the right thing next time. And the second thing is also, even if it is your responsibility, you have to see three things before you correct someone. First thing is whether the time is right or not. Second thing is that in what situation that person is. And the third thing is, what is my state of mind? Because when you correct someone thinking you know better than them, it will arouse ego in their intellect. They will react with you to prove I am not wrong, you are wrong. So I have to see three things before I even tell, with lot of good wishes and lot of humility, you know, that too if I am responsible. Otherwise, I just be an example. When somebody is doing wrong, I don't copy the wrong. I always remain right. And so if it is my motive is good, they will follow me. You know, so it's a way of dealing with people. So let us experience for a few minutes what we have heard. So I would like you to remove your bag and make yourself little bit, you know, not too comfortable, little comfortable. Because when you sit in meditation too comfortably, you fall asleep. You have to take minimum support of the matter. Yeah, minimum support. And so better you come, Manman, you can sit on the floor, come. Yeah? So sit straight, don't need to write anything, turn off your mobiles. Yeah? Sit straight and keep your eyes open, always. Raj Yoga is that, you know, it's the energy of the soul being transferred from these eyes windows. So, even if you are not able to meditate, by receiving the vibration you can uplift yourself. Yeah? So I'll speak few words and you can be in that experience. Not just repeating the thought, feel it yourself, so that at the end of the meditation you can take back some experience, feeling. We just play soft music to avoid other noises, you know, so that the other noises that is coming will not distract us. So we are in tune with one kind of sound, but we have to go beyond that also. I allow my body to sit comfortably with a straight back. I take a long breath. I breathe in relaxation and I breathe out, allowing all tensions to slip away. I turn my mind within. I allow my mind and intellect to become detached from the surroundings, from my own senses, my own body. I become aware of myself. As a tiny point of light, a living energy, seated in the center of my forehead. I am light. I am a soul. I am immortal, imperishable, eternal soul. I am peace. I am love. I am filled with power. in this soul consciousness. I am totally detached, separate from this body. In a second, I can move away from this body and I see myself floating as a beam of light going beyond the subtle regions into the dimension of golden red light. I am light. I am in my sweet silence home, the soul world. In this sweet silence home, I see myself in the presence of Shiv Baba, the Supreme Light. I come close to the Supreme Light. I connect with Shiv Baba, the source of light, the source of peace, the source of love. Shiv Baba, like the sun, is showering rays filled with love, rays filled with light, rays filled with peace. I, the being of light, I am enjoying receiving these rays of light. I am empowered with this energy coming from the source. I, the soul, I am lost in the ocean of light and might. I enjoy these moments of being in union with Baba, my Supreme Father, Supreme Mother, my Supreme Guru. I allow the rays of light coming from Baba to penetrate deep into myself. I, the soul, I am being filled with God's light, God's love and peace. I enjoy this moment. of being in union with the Source. I feel total rejuvenation I am totally recharged, empowered. From a distance, I, the being of light, I slowly descend from the soul world, slowly descend into the corporeal world. And I see myself in this body, sparkling in the center of my forehead, radiating peace, love, light all around. I am peace. I am love. I am silence. I am balanced. Oh, Shanti.